This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That's got a real little je ne sais quoi to it. The thing is, like, when people have kids these days, they go way too much in the other direction, don't they? Whereby no one's called Philip or Sarah or Jack. Mm. Everyone's called Fountain or Lightsaber or, Christoph or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's got to have, like, some kind of, like, quirky name.
Yeah, it's that annoying. The thing is, I David annoys me now. We've been speaking about it now. I'm like, oh, David's so bland.
Yeah, I know. It's hard, isn't it? I think it is hard. You've got to make sure that it's not a name that they can be bullied in the... Because I've heard some names and I'm just like, yeah, that might tickle your fancy now. And you think it's a bit clever and interesting. But that's got loads of potential to be used in the playground. To sort of, in some way be toxic and negative, as these kids can be, type of thing. But,
Merry Christmas, Dave.
Absolutely. Why do you have to go back to the playground, Dave?
And welcome to Random Movie Generator.
We haven't gone straight into Creamboat at all.
It felt nice, didn't it?
Flipping heck, it's just gone straight into therapy.
This is lovely. Can you hear the jingle bell? This is lovely. Well, Merry Christmas to you, David. I hope you've had a lovely year.
Absolutely. You need this landmark at the end of the year to put your hands on your hips, look around and just say, what's it all bloody about? Yeah. Whilst having some bloody...
Well, let's do it. Let's put our hands on our hips.
Hands on our hips, like Tina Turner at the beginning of a tour. Absolutely.
Hands on both hips. What's it all about?
What's it all about, sailors? Come off your ship and say hello. I'm your present. Start rapping. Unwrap me. Right? Absolutely. So I've got to go negative and depressing or erotic, one or the other. It always has to enter into the dark side of the human being, doesn't it?
What's it all about? Sailor.
Absolutely. That'll be my catchphrase. At least until 2024, type of thing. What's it all about, sailors? Hello, Admiral.
Did you watch any films last night? Did you watch any films last night?
Yeah, absolutely. I made a... Because I think you quite rightly said that there has not been a Wonka review. And I said I was going to wait for the family. But I thought, no, podcasts come before family. It's the internet. So I'll watch it again, obviously. I won't just, sit out of it. But I saw Wonka on Thursday. And then Friday night, the night just we've just left through time and space... is I saw the ultimate Christmas film, Die Hard, up on the big screen. Which is always a debate, is that a Christmas film or not? I think it has got Christmas elements to it, in actual fact.
Strange Christmas film, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of Christmas music going on, and during tense moments, because I haven't watched it for years, there's a lot of, they do embed a lot of Christmas aesthetics within it. Like, in tense moments, you get the, what is it, the reindeer bells. So instead of usual, and there's a lot of Christmas sort of, Christmas is referenced to it a lot. It is a lot to do with family, you know, and things in that vein. So you could argue there's some Crimbo elements.
Well, what do you want to talk about, David? Do you want to do Wonka? Do you want to do Die Hard?
Let's certainly do Wonka, because I think, you know, Die Hard's very more of a sort of retrospective nostalgia element.
So but, you went to the cinema on Thursday to watch Wonka. Does the cinema feel Christmassy?
Do you know what? I was saying this to... Ryan, my film compadre, there was hardly any real kind of effort to make it feel Christmassy whatsoever, really. There's a
keep
lot
it,
of Christmas
keep
films
it Christmassy.
On. Oh, absolutely, Dave. You've heard of a line, a little white line, just to keep us, you know,
okay.
Sort of a verbal Prozac pill, just to give people. But there's a lot of Christmas films on, Elf, Home Alone 2, stuff like that. Die Hard, that's obviously on for Christmas. So it had that kind of Christmassy vibe. McDonald's could have made a bit more of an effort. There was no actual proper tinsel. They seem to just change their cardboard ads with a bit of snowflakes on. You know, in, out, you know. So all being January is, I don't know, a Paddington toy mill. So instead of having like a few snowflakes on that cardboard cutout, it'll be that. Do you know what I mean? I always feel as though, but nostalgia is a funny thing, isn't it? You always think that in the 80s when I went to the Wimpy, it was just covered in tinsel and flashing lights. You know, if you were, if you suffered from some kind of epileptic fit, you wouldn't be able to go in and get a burger. Do you know what I mean? Because it was just all over the place.
The Wimpy covered in tinsel is a lovely, lovely image.
You just, I don't think you get that anymore. But did it exist? I don't know. Is it just like a fake mirage within the centre of my skull called the mind? I don't know.
Did your snacks when you watched Wonka, were they influenced by Christmas?
Yeah, I had a bit of it shames me to even admit this, whereby I had a situation whereby someone gave me a lift to Lidl's. I went to Lidl's and I had a shopping list to buy stuff for Christmas.
Why are you laughing?
Because I don't know why I'm sharing this, really. I should just lie, really. But I don't know. It's just a case of I'm just not quick on my feet enough to actually come up with another menu of food. So I'm having like a conversation in my head. Do I go with this? So basically, I had like a list of things to buy for Christmas at Lidl's. Then Ryan picked me up from Lidl's, took me to the cinema. And
a lot of people ferrying around.
No, yes, I know. Yeah, I just thought, oh, that'd be easy. I could do this while I'm in Lidl's. Do you mind picking me up, sort of thing? And I got myself a, because it's Wonka, I got myself a very large bar of milk or chocolate that I'm a big fan of to go with the sort of Wonka theme. But I don't know. It melted very early, and stupidly, because it wasn't in my car, I had all that Christmas shopping with me, and I just started eating the Christmas shopping in the cinema, which is a terrible thing to do, and I felt really bad about it.
So you bought Christmas shopping to see you through the Christmas period?
Well, to take to my dad's for Christmas Day. I'm going to have to go back with that now. And I just...
What did you eat in the cinema then? Like a turkey?
No, God, it was things like... two tubs of Pringles.
Dangerous, David. You're not going to keep a tub of Pringles, are you, in a bag and not have
Bailey's fudges, things like that. It was like a mini kind of Christmas kind of bits and pieces. And I was just like, once you get going, you say, oh, fuck it. Excuse my French. Let's just go with it. Do you know what I mean?
Did you take like little shopping bags into the...
I put
cinema.
It in my backpack. I had a large backpack and I put it in that type of thing. And I should have left it in Ryan's car, but I didn't, but it was in my backpack.
Did you eat a lot of it?
Yes, I did, unfortunately. Yeah, a hell of a lot. And I just, and afterwards I was just like, that's why I was smiling in the sense of, do I really want to admit this? Pringles are just horrific, though, in the sense
do you know
that
what,
there's
David,
some
we
drug
could do,
on that.
Well, we could do a whole episode on Pringles, couldn't we? Hey,
the shape of the actual crisp is like a tongue. So it's like a sort of crisp
snog. It's a duck's bill, isn't it? It's like
it's
sexy
like a duck's
bill. Yeah.
But like I had shortbread, Bailey's fudge, and two Pringles. I didn't finish it all.
You finished two tubes of Pringles?
No, annoyingly, I finished one tube of Pringles. I don't know how much people want to hear this, because it's just
the whole universe wants to hear it.
It was just, well, it's terrible in the sense that it's like I had one tub of Pringles, and then I was just like, are you going to have a second one? You think, oh, what the hell, let's just go with it.
David,
and
please tell me, what flavour Pringle do you go for?
Oh, what was it? The first one was cheese and chive.
Oh!
And the other one was like a some kind of Indian takeaway, paprika, something like that.
Paprika?
Is that what it's called, or is that the name of an anime manga? Paprika, I think it's called.
Paprika.
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 I think Paprika is the name of a film. Absolutely. Oh, Star Wars character or something. But yes, it was quite an experience. But then the second tub, I'd had enough of Pringles. So I only had three of them. But I've opened the tub, so I can't take that back to my dad's. And then I'm sat in the cinema thinking, well, you could do if you pretend that you've opened it in the actual flat with him. And I'm trying to watch a bloody film, and at the same time, I'm going through a Pringle guilt-conscious breakdown.
So, Wonka. I'm really excited by this.
Yes, Wonka. Do you know, a lot of it, you can tell, I would say straight off, Warner Brothers have been quite tactical with their marketing, because I didn't realise it was like a full-blown musical. It really is a full-on musical. I knew there was going to be some dancing involved with Timothée Chalamet. That's not his... How do you pronounce his surname?
Chalamet,
there we go. And so I knew there was going to be a bit of a dance moment, but it's a full-on musical. I wasn't quite expecting that. And also,
Off-putting? Just slightly?
I think I was sat there thinking it might off-put me, because it goes straight into song, straight off. It's the guy, it's Divine Comedy, he's written it, so they are... Yes, it is, yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow.
I'd say musical-wise, I wouldn't say anything's massively memorable. I wasn't like, you know, kind of singing to myself afterwards. But it's still, you know, effective, and it works within the narrative, certainly. And also, there's a very important relationship in the film with a character between Wonka and a young orphan girl called Noodles. And that doesn't really feature in the trailers. They've been very strategic with the marketing. It was like, oh, I don't really remember this being a key element in the, which was fine. But I feel as though certain elements were kept back quite strategically.
David, Dr. Greggle said, musical, I was due to see it next week. Fuck that. John Bones said, oh, crap, I hate musicals.
Well, that's interesting that they're all out of the picture there, and they were a bit shocked, because right at the beginning, he's on a boat coming into the dock. Well, not right, I think it's at the beginning, and he's singing away with his bloody lungs. I think I knew it was going to be, he was going to have a bit of a dance and a song at some point. I mean, even Toy Story has a song every now and then in it. But because they say that his singing and dancing is competent, not brilliant. I thought it was fine, personally. But it's a full-on musical.
What's it about? What's it about?
So basically, it's about Wonka. He's going to the big city and to start his chocolate aspirations, you know, to be a chocolate mogul.
Lovely.
And there's almost this kind of... chocolate cartel of chocolate businessmen. It's almost got like a sort of capitalism kind of commentary about it, whereby they don't want anyone new coming in. They've completely sealed this. They're the kind of who's the guy who owns Amazon? Jez Bizzo. That's completely insane. He's saying that Zuckerberg and
Jeff Bezos, is it?
That's it, Jeff Bezos. You're quite right.
Bezos?
That's nearer to what I just said. And you know, it's this kind of, they're the Silicon Valley of chocolate monsters, and they don't want this young little Turk to come in and get involved. And ironically, a lot of people have likened it to the narrative structure of Scarface, where it's someone who's come into this industry with fancy aspirations, and they want to climb the ladder with their new ideas. And basically, you've got these capitalist kings who want to sort of knock them aside. So you've got lots of well-known British actors, because obviously Paul King's got a background in British comedy, doing stuff with Matt Lucas and David Walliams, and certainly Mighty Boosh. So you've got the ghost cast. They all pop up at some point. Matt Lucas. And also, who's the chap who plays Mark's boss in The Peep Show? Johnson, he's in there. Matt Lucas and Johnson play kind of like chocolate kind of kingpins, if you like. And it's one of those ironies, isn't it? It's an anti-capitalist film designed to make money for a massive capitalist system. But I'm
Merry,
not here to...
Merry Christmas!
Absolutely. Merry Christmas once again. There's no use
Merry Christmas, everybody.
There's no use me pointing that one out. But then you also got this laundrette that he works for when he first comes to the city. So it's got that Charles Dickens, you know, coming to the city with dreams of being a chocolate king. And Olivia Colman and Davis, the guy.
Tom Davis
plays, he's kind of wanting. He fancies Olivia Colman and sort of, you know, aspires to have a romance with her. But she's quite a nasty kind of Charles Dickens character type of thing. So it's got that kind of Dickensian kind of wanting to climb the ladder feel. And also you've got the element of the introduction of the Oompa Loompas in the form of Hugh Grant. But it's very much a case of he's really embraced this I'm a grumpy 50-year-old vibe now, isn't he? He's kind of like metamorphosed 50? Into a new star sign.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he'd definitely be in his 50s, maybe even
he's older than that. He's 63.
Oh, God, there we go. He's very much like, and the Americans love it. It's like Hugh just says what Hugh wants to say. I love it.
Hugh just says what Hugh wants to say.
It's as simple. Because on the Oscar red carpet last year, he was really open. He's just like, he just says it. He's just authentic. He's Hugh is Hugh.
He'd come it's on the pod. No question.
Fingers crossed. He's, he doesn't take fools gladly type thing. Every now and then, the Oompa Loompa CGI looks a bit, what do they call it? Eerie Valley. Generally, it doesn't quite look right. I'm doing terribly with my words today.
No, not at all. No, you're not.
And
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley. There you go. Uncanny Valley. And it's just a case of so every now and then you can see his head has just been photoshopped onto this man of a small size body, which we would call a dwarf back in the 80s type of thing.
Absolutely,
quite right. And the Hugh Grant moments certainly work. His new dry, say it as it is, sister,
yeah,
kind of slightly grumpy persona. I mean, it's interesting that he was this rom-com darling. And now he's totally turned into this kind of quite dark, cynical kind of, but tongue-in-cheek kind of figure.
Did Ryan like it? I love knowing what Ryan... Because I think normally you agree. No, last week you said you disagree, and then you told him why he was wrong.
I know, which I don't think... I look back on that, and I think that wasn't ideal. I think he just sort of... I think he just sort of very much basic stuff for him. It was like, oh, that was a nice hour and a half, you know.
Fuck, I thought this was going to blow your
hair off. Oh, no, it's got great merit. Do not get me wrong. I think I got a bit more out of it than him. I think it's not up to the Pannington standards, certainly not. But Paul King, you're in very good hands.
What's it missing then, David, for you?
I would say... It makes a lot of connections to the Gene Wilder film, that, you know, imagination, the song, all that. So it's definitely paying compliments and links to it. So you think to yourself, is this supposed to be in connection with not a literal prequel to Gene Wilder, but the actual Wonka character? And a lot of people have said this, so it's nothing new. He's very overly optimistic, hyper-positive, and he doesn't really have the sarcasm or the dark Roald Dahl element of Wonka. And I'd agree with that. But you could argue, you know, that it's a prequel, and in your youth, you're always hyper-positive. and that maybe, you know, the sequel will allow Wonka to go through some kind of arc in some way.
Is this film for you?
I'd say it's more of a kid's film. I felt Paddington was more for me. And also, I like the way Paddington had an almost Enid Blyton adventure romp vibe to it. Whereas this is more of a, this is almost like a musical panto, quite twee vibe type of feel. But I mean, it's still, you know, there's some great moments where there's a musical moment where he's milking a giraffe that works. There's a tap dancing moment. And there's some definite, I was definitely engaged. Paul King and Simon Farnaby, who have written it, you know, Paul King's clearly an auteur, you know, someone who's got a very unique take and style on things, and tonally balances a lot, spins a lot of plates. I think, you know, Paul King is basically like a studio's dream, in that he can kind of create these films for kids that adults can also enjoy. I mean, that's the Pixar formula, and Paul King can clearly do it. I just don't think... Sally Hawkins plays the mother to Wonka, and there's some real emotional moments with her that are really effective. Definitely, I won't do any spoilers and things of that vein. It's good, but I would say it doesn't quite have that kind of Paddington kind of X factor. It doesn't quite have that, because Paddington does have
an action adventure romp.
Oh man, you'd really,
I think it's on
like
tomorrow
it.
On the TV. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's your modern day classic. You would definitely like Paddington. And as somebody, I'll tell you right now, someone who's a fan of, obviously, you know, a script writer who's interested in narrative and structure, it's definitely one of those really carefully constructed narratives. And it's one of those perfect things where you can sit down and your kids can watch it with you. Everyone gets a dopamine hit. You know, even dad in his 50s and the kids in their like 8 or 7 years.
40s.
40s, quite right. Watch it, Edwards. What are you doing there?
Right. So, everybody, now's the chance to guess how many choc ices out of 5 David is going to give Wonka. Okay, so please put your guesses into the chat. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all the man, woman, beast, and Fortnite avatar, whatever you are at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah, so everyone's just starting to put their guesses into the chat. Oh, that's nice, Martin Gardner. Let's call this Wonka bars this week and not choc ices. How many Wonka bars out of 5?
Absolutely. Let's give them a bit of free advertising.
So, I feel like this, if I don't get this right, I'll be very disappointed. Let's have a look. So, David, everyone's had their guess. David, how many Wonka bars out of 5 are you going to give the new film Wonka?
I
said 3.5.
Very strong.
Oh, that's a great film then. 4?
Wouldn't say it's quite Paddington level.
Oh, so we're talking about a really good film here.
Oh, yeah, you won't leave empty-handed, 100%.
Oh, wonderful. Because I thought it was a little bit of a negative review, but...
Oh, that's bad, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe I'm just too negative, full stop. I mean, the British cast are really good. Do you know one thing I found, and this will probably go on deaf ears, is... because I listen to a lot of American podcasts, the Americans seem to be very negative towards Matt Lucas. There's a lot of negative reviews towards Matt Lucas.
Merry Christmas.
I know, sorry. Goodness me. Get out the tinted. Get out the mistletoe. And someone give him a bloody kiss, he'll shut up. But I thought Matt Lucas was rather good in it, personally.
Yeah.
Good old David.
Thank you so much for this week's new movie review.
Thank you, people. Thank you.
Well, David, could we crack on with the movie review this week?
100%, absolutely, which is... in a way, in the same vein as Wonka, I'm just getting my notes up from it.
So this is the review. Mandy's not with us this week. She's with her grandma in Edinburgh.
And don't forget the Hoover. She's taking the Hoover with her. Her, I don't know if they're married or not. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, they're in a relationship. Good luck with them.
So Mandy randomly chose the movie Peter Pan?
100% Peter Pan, yeah.
So over to you, David. The review of, is it the 1950s, 60s?
Yeah, what was the date for it? I do have it here. 1953.
Wow.
The film came out. I think, you know, there were elements to it that I was certainly impressed, definitely. I think, you know...
Right, hang on. Let's start. You sat down, you put it on, it started. What are you thinking straight away? Peter Pan starts. What does it look like?
I'm talking myself into it. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of... Because, I mean, one thing that takes you out a bit is that the animation really has dated in a big way. It was quite cutting edge back then. Ironically, I think Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, that was the first one. I believe Peter Pan was the second. Someone can maybe on Patreon can tell me. Maybe Alistair Satchell, the film festival chap, you might...
Don't lean on Alistair,
just because he's not your crutch, mate. He's got his own life. He's got his own challenges. But I would say it's almost because Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is so early with the animation, it's got a sort of charm to it, bizarrely. The colours feel a lot brighter. Peter Pan back then was seen as like the next technological evolution. But it does feel like a Saturday morning cartoon from the 80s now. It looks Tom and Jerry to me.
Jeff Dale says it's 70 years ago, to be fair.
100%, Jeff. You know, I was telling that to myself whilst I was sat there with my Options hot cocoa.
Ooh. I bought some Options hot chocolate. They arrived. I haven't had any yet.
Have you tried salted caramel, amigo? Oh, makes love to your tongue. Did you get salted caramel?
No, I think I just got the... I don't know what I got. But they came in like a 4-pack or a 3-pack.
Oh, wonderful. You'll be... well, I don't know. I mean, I have recommended these things to you before, and they've gone down an absolute, you know, disaster. So hopefully it's not a negative one. The salted caramel, I think you'll be happy with.
Yeah, I think this will go down fine. Don't worry about
it. Fingers crossed. So the animation, 70 years ago, Jeff, I was saying that to myself as I was sat there swinging my Options, thinking, Dave, be realistic, meet the mouse halfway. But at the end of the day, you just keep looking at it. Like, there's some Indians that exist on the island, and I kept looking at it thinking, well, that looks like Looney Tunes. It doesn't really look like a Disney epic. But, Jeff, you're right, it's 70 years ago. I kept saying that to myself, not Jeff, because I didn't know Jeff then. I know Jeff now. But
do you?
I don't know him personally, but just a name on a screen to interact with. You know, this bizarre parasocial internet world we now exist in. You do know people and you don't.
Do you cradle the Options as you watch Peter Pan? Is it sort of like that?
I do a lot of loud slurping that only a bachelor can do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I do grab any heat that I can that British Gas isn't going to give me.
That through I can
get
your
from Mother Nature. Yeah, from my Options type of thing. But, you know, life is about options, simple as that.
But did you, were you filled with dread? Were you how did you feel sitting down? You were, was it homework? A little bit homeworky?
That was a conversation in my head. But the thing is, one thing that's got to be said is that the characters, you can tell a lot of time was taken over the script. The characters are well designed. They've all got a character arc, and each of them explore this idea of maturing and leaving childhood. It is quite interesting. It's like the father of Wendy and the other child, her brother. He wants them to grow up. Then you've got Peter Pan, who doesn't want anything to grow up. Wendy realizes it's got to happen, but finds it depressing. You know, it's quite interesting in that sense. You know, there's a clear... And Peter Pan is sometimes quite selfish. You know, he isn't just pure goodness. Like, we reviewed Alice in Wonderland a few weeks back, didn't we? And she was just a cipher, just someone you went through a journey with just to meet all the bizarre characters in the Wonderland, the parallel universe. But Peter's very three-dimensional. You know, he's dealing with a lot of issues. And he can be quite selfish and quite narcissistic at times. So I think the characters are well produced. The music, it's one of those bizarre things that I never realised that When You Wish Upon a Star came from Peter Pan. And
can you sing it?
When You Wish Upon a Star? No, I can't actually. I don't know why. It's terrible, isn't that? For me, it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's where I first heard it. Spielberg uses the reference point, doesn't it? But a lot of... I would say that's the difference with Paddington. There's some real catchy tunes in here.
Well, David, let's stop and let's have a little listen to Wish Upon a Star.
Please.
Peter R.M. says Wish Upon a Star came from Pinocchio. No? And I've just looked it up. Pinocchio, When You Wish Upon a Star. I'm confused.
Oh, right. That is strange. Where
but Peter Pan also Wish Upon a Star.
Oh, thank God. I thought, oh, I find my memory's finally gone.
Who originally sang Wish Upon a Star? Cliff Edwards.
Wish Upon a Star is in Peter Pan, yeah?
Yeah, but it was voiced by Cliff Edwards, who was the voice of Jiminy Cricket.
That is interesting. So it's almost like a sort of... a song that was part of the Disney franchise type of element. Because imagine, that is interesting.
Oh.
God, I just thought, I really got worried then, because I'm always worried about my memory, brain, and my cognitive abilities. And I thought, oh God, I've crossed the line now.
It's Enjoy pretty much Christmas. The Disney theme music.
It really is, isn't it? Massively so. Because they really, when you go to the theme part, that's banged out 24/7, you know, in the background. But the other thing I would say, do you know the other thing is, I know the Peter Pan story so well that the plot had no real kind of, do you know when you just know each plot beat, oh, it's this bit, there's no hanging question mark or enigma code hanging over you of how is this going to be kind of solved. Captain Hook, once again, I would say it's a very three-dimensional character in the sense that he's amusing but has moments of darkness. You can tell this script hasn't been like quickly just like chucked together type of thing. Yeah, the characters are very well constructed.
I've got to get to the bottom of this. I'm not sure if Wish Upon a Star is in Peter Pan.
God, so what am I thinking? Is there a star song?
No, it's from Pinocchio. So what's Peter Pan then?
You've got, there's a Never Never Land, you've got I'm Flying. So wait, oh God. Right, okay, so maybe I have just gone insane.
No. Maybe it's in both,
I'll have a look as well, but I haven't got my mouse connected.
Peter Pan soundtracks, 1953. Here we go, David.
Oh, God, this is like, do I need a CAT scan or not? Is it MIR time?
It's not in the movie.
Well, I apologise. There must have been another one in there.
Second star to the right. You can fly, you can fly. A Pirate's Life. Never smile at a crocodile.
Okay, here we go. Pinocchio, When You Wish Upon a Star, Cliff Edwards.
Yeah, but we're talking about Peter Pan.
Yes, we are. You're quite right. Peter Pan and Wendy Wish Upon a Star.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know either.
Peter Pan medley, When You Wish Upon a Star.
What?
It seems to be kind of like... I said Pinocchio, but there's a picture of Wendy in the video.
Well, this is very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Peter Pan medley, Wish Upon a Star, We Can Fly.
This is a terrible way to find out you've got a serious brain condition, says Jeff Dow. Dr. Greggles, did he watch the wrong film?
Hope not.
Second star to the right. Here, is it?
Yeah,
was
well,
it?
You know,
Was it this, David? You might not be able to hear it.
Second star to the right shines in the night for you.
The second star in the right shines in the night for you.
Maybe it was. Clearly I've got my...
Dreams you can, really can come true. The second star to the right shines with the light.
Or maybe it was like at the beginning of the actual film, and it was, we'll have to edit this.
No, if I was listening to this, I was like,
let's get to the hunky dory.
This is nice. I'd be like, wow, this is intriguing.
Maybe it was the beginning of the film or something, you know, where the studio title comes up, and I linked onto it to that, because they actually have the song a lot of the time when the actual Disney symbol appears. So maybe I linked it to that.
The second star to the right hand.
I don't think that it was that one, because that sounds like a Songs of Praise gospel song. Sort of. That reminds me of having to go to church with my parents for like a decade. You know what I mean?
I love that music, though, that choral sort of.
La, da, da, of a different da, da, era, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
1950s. All I can think is that maybe it was at the beginning of the film where the credits started, and it was more like the Disney symbol.
Yeah.
And in this Neverland you need, this life will lead you there.
I'm just playing a bit of Second Star to the Right. So lovely. Well, David, it's now time to rate the 1953 Peter Pan's.
I apologise for. I think also it's like a week since I've seen it. I write detailed notes to jog my memory, so I guess it's more in my notes than my actual brain. So I'm really questioning it now.
David, you're a human being, and we all make mistake, and maybe you haven't made a mistake. Maybe it is in the movie.
I don't think it is now, thinking about it more and more. I think maybe it's a case of I wrote the notes, and it's just a song that I put in within the notes, and maybe I thought my memory thought it was there.
What would Sharkins think about this?
Absolutely disrespectful. You're wasting people's time. As a film critic, you are a curator of art, and you, sir, have put the wrong painting in the wrong room. And now people have gone away with disinformation and will spread it in the streets like an artistic, cultural, cinematic virus. You are nothing to me, leave. Vile. Pretender. Not a cinema soldier.
Pretender to the crown.
Absolutely pretender to the crown. Just coming up with stuff on the bloody, you know. You've got enough of that on the internet, mate.
Right, how many chalk ices out of five is David going to give the 1953 Peter Pan? Everyone's started guessing already. I think I'm going to have a guess. Jeff Dow said, bloody hell, Chalkins. I'm going to have a little guess. How many chalk ices, everybody, is David going to give Peter Pan? Over to you.
$3.5
Wallop.
There you go.
I got it.
Have some of that, mama.
I got it.
Have some of that.
3.5. This feels like a film, just from what you were saying. If I stuck this on in front of my boys, they'd bloody lap it up.
Yeah, I think they would do. And I think it's because the whole Peter Pan narrative is just so... I knew what was going to happen, plot beat by plot beat. Also, it sounds like I had some kind of mental breakdown halfway through, where it was like a Pinocchio remix type of thing. Perhaps one of the patrons was right. Maybe I did come back with my second option and accidentally found myself watching Pinocchio and just went with it. Do you know what I mean? Like a sort of disorientated middle-aged man, which I've now become.
Well, thank you very much, David, for this week's movie review. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, I've never
let it
seen
go.
Very normal. I know.
Well, David, it's time to open up presents.
Wowzers, this is what I live for.
David and I bought each other a present. I've got mine here. Obviously, they're not wrapped, are they?
So it's a modern Amazon. This is the world, the way the world lives now, isn't it?
It's disgusting, isn't it? But David's got me a present. I've got David a present.
You are yours first, Captain, ever see.
Okay, well, here it is. Thank you very much. I'm very excited.
Let's hope. Did you do presents for your other podcast? Did you get any other interesting gifts? Because I started listening to the Chatterbix one. I don't think it got there. What did you get for that?
Well,
what a nightmare. Why are you marketing someone else's show, Dave? Let's just focus on this one.
Right, here we go. I'm really excited. Last year you got me.
Oh, it was children's.
Yeah. No, it was a children's book about a love triangle, wasn't it?
A lot more effort has gone into this one. Fingers crossed.
It's nerve-wracking opening a present, isn't it? Because
yeah, you never quite know what this bizarre man's going to get you.
Opening.
Here we go.
Wow. Now this is lovely. That is a lovely present, David. Look at that! It's a mini Sylvester Stallone Italian Stallion boxing gloves.
I thought they were like proper size. I did not think they were miniature. For the love of God, I thought they were proper size. I didn't think I was buying that. Dear God, you can't trust the internet, can you? They're not supposed to be miniature. What on earth? Oh my Lord, I can't get it right, can I? That's incredible. Introducing toddlers to I don't know, self-defense. That's insane. All I can do is apologize. It's just insane. It's like a Vic and Bob gag. It's like something out of Shooting Stars. Honestly, that's just surreal for me to... You were supposed to be sent proper boxing gloves.
Oh, fucking hell. Fucking hell. Oh, my God.
I just like... Is my webcam... Is that in focus? It's unbelievable. I mean, what do people do with that? Hang that over there like a car mirror.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sick of being an underdog. You know, this is lovely.
Well, I hope so, because I mean, that's not what I envision. I envision proper bloody strap-on,
pardon?
Rocky gloves. Sorry, absolutely. Let's keep it family. Merry Christmas once again.
Listen, they're great. They're great. Thank you, David.
Well, it's very kind of you to say, flip it. I can't believe that.
It's funny. It's like Spinal Tap, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like, what? They just said it. They were boxing gloves. Do you know what I mean? And it was from Daryl's boxing gym and all that. The people who actually put them together and sold them.
Okay. Right. Do you want to open your present from me? Now, David, I got this thinking... I don't know. I'm a bit worried about this one.
Oh, do not be worried. I've got an... Let's just remember what I've just given you.
I think it's nothing's relevant about my one. I think it'll just go, what? But anyway.
No. It's always good. You know, you've made an effort, sir, and, you know, it's a lovely way to mark the year. You go, Amazon at the ready.
David's opening the present.
Oh, wow! How amazing! Wizard of Oz, the 75th anniversary. Well, that's really interesting. Thank you very much.
Is it?
Yeah, massively. I find that really interesting to read. The whole history of Wizard of Oz. Oh, thank you very much. For people at home to see.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'll be a real page turner.
Is it about the making of? Is it about the making of?
It is completely. Look at that Metro Goldwyn. I was going to call it an email. Their version of an email, a memo. Oh, I find that fascinating. Thank you very, very. That's a proper gift, isn't it? I can sit down and use that. I was hoping you could use that to hit men. But now it's going to be, you know, you have to find a toddler that you think's got boxing abilities. God, yeah, this is fascinating. Look at that, Walt Disney's early involvement, things like that. Yeah, that's pre-production from page to screen. Mate, that is catnip for me. Hollywood commodity. God, what gave you the inspiration to get that? That's really interesting.
I don't know. I saw it.
Early
and I thought...
prototypes of the Scarecrow.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Really, thank you very, very much.
Oh.
Because, I mean, you know, it was the big avatar of its time, wasn't it?
It's definitely full size.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, God, it's not like literally like I've got to get a giant magnifying glass. Kind of,
some tweezers to turn over the pages.
Oh, wow, look at this.
What?
There's a Wizard of Oz. I think there's loads of cards in here or something. Well, it's very kind of you to get this. This is like a proper gift. Oh, wow, look at this. Oh, my God, look. The Certificate of Death of the Witch. Early posters for the actual film.
David, can I have this?
Absolutely. I will send that through the post to you ASAP. Share the joy. Yeah, this is amazing. The Michael the Mighty Miracle Show that is the talk of America. Yeah, all the early publicity for the actual film. Mate, this is absolutely superb. I love reading through this.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas to you.
Wizard of Oz bookmark. Wonderful. God, flipping it. I mean, that's a genuine proper gift. Thank you very, very much.
Can I see the front cover again?
Absolutely. It's a...
David, show me the front cover.
Flipping egg. It's still got an element of aggression to it, isn't it? Even though it's just a finger, it still means business.
Yeah, there you go.
A coffee table.
Bloody hell!
Oh, in Kansas anymore.
Oh dear. Oh, Daniel Clark says, can we quiz David on Wizard of Oz facts on the next podcast? Well, no, let's not put pressure on David, but we could do it in the new year at some point.
Absolutely, why not?
I'd love to do a Wizard of Oz deep dive.
Oh, God, yeah, I would. Because, I mean, it's almost like the first blockbuster, isn't it?
Oh, that would be lovely. David, thank you so much for this year's
thank you, sir. That's a wonderful gift. Thank you very, very much. Very imaginative as well. I didn't even know it existed. To the Radio Times. Who's on the front of the Radio Times? Is it Meg the cat? Why is Meg suddenly so in trend and fashionable? Are your kids into Meg?
No, I don't think so. Don't know, they might be.
I mean, these days it's a killer shark, isn't it?
Right, where are the films?
They seem to be really pushing Meg. I remember Meg being a big book for kids back in the day, but blimey.
Okay, 12 films at Christmas. This is lovely. So, this is the Radio Times 12 films at Christmas. I'm going to read them out, and David's going to say yay or nay.
And absolutely.
So it'll be yes or no. And if you haven't seen it, you remain silent.
Absolutely. Quite right.
Right. Are you ready, David? Wizard of Oz.
Yes. I have to watch that, won't I? Sorry, shut up. Sorry, yeah.
Pirates.
Yes.
What, Reggie Yates film, Pirates?
No, that's one with Hugh Grant. That's Aardman Animation, isn't it? It's rather good.
No, it's Reggie Yates. In a London-based caper.
Well, that's not Christmassy, no. I don't think that's worked. Wait, that's the Radio 1 DJ. Why is that being put in the top 12?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a bit too verbal. I've got to keep to my no or yay.
The Courier.
What's in that one, that? The Courier?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, that's a spy film. That's not Christmassy. Nay. No. No.
Maestro.
Yes. There could be more Christmassy things than that, but it's worth a watch.
Saltburn.
No.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes. Yes.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
Respect.
Is that a documentary about Tina Turner or something?
Jennifer
or?
Hudson as Aretha Franklin. Respect.
No. Not too familiar with that one, unfortunately.
Roald Dahl's The Witches.
Now, is that... Sorry, I don't want to ruin the years or no.
Anne Hathaway.
No.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yes.
The Lion King.
Yes.
And Toy Story 4.
Yes.
So that's David's quick reviews of the 12 films at Christmas on your TV or streaming doodah.
I think they work better, don't they? I don't get enough room to kind of hang myself. Even though I do try.
Right, well, shall we do a random... Shall we choose a film for you to review in the new year?
Absolutely, definitely.
Okay. So, wow, what a bloody episode
this has been. Experience.
It's been incredible. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. Mandy has left this little baby movie generator just on the floor over there. It's about... I don't know, 4 inch by 4 inch. It's about a little cube. Doesn't talk.
Let it enjoy its life. Why throw it straight into employment? Do you know what I mean? It's like a Charles Dickens nightmare.
But this little cube is going to generate some movies for David to potentially review in the new year. So are you ready, David?
100% ready. Definitely. Okay. 2024, how are we going to start this new year?
Yeah. Okay, so over to you. Choose the genre of the first movie you might be reviewing next year.
Stop.
Family.
Lovely.
And the decade, please.
Stop.
1980s.
Okay, family 80s, that could be good.
Pippin, please. Pippin, please.
Stick around.
Please randomly generate 4 family movies from the 1980s. Pippin has created 4 movies, spinning them around in her little belly. It's over to you to tell when to tell Pippin, to tell Pippin when to stop.
Stop.
Big.
Oh! Wow. Lovely, I'll be up for that. Thank you.
Big. Yeah, oh, you're thanking Pippin. Someone likes Pippin.
There's no toxicity in that. I'd be well up for that. Penny Marshall's Big with Tom Hanks. Do you know what? I think it's one of those films where I don't know if I've ever watched it because it's so referred to so much.
You've never seen Big?
I must have seen Big. Do you know what I mean? Because it's one of those ones, though, but you know, you've watched so many clips. I can never actually remember the time I sat down and watched it.
Right, okay.
But obviously, you know, I know the thing on the LA Pier, Santa Barbara Pier, where, you know, the thing that makes the wish. Bizarre relationship with the actual woman now, isn't it? Where, you know, basically she's dating a 10-year-old. They kind of meet each other at the end, which is a bizarre one. Anyway, I have to return to it and recalculate that in my head.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you, Pippin.
I'll be waiting for that, though.
Did you hear that? It's just a little squeak.
Well, there you go. Yeah, none of that toxicity. Just a little squeak, move on. A bit like my earlier reviews. Yes! You know, it's about making it simpler, isn't it?
Right. Let's choose the genre of the second movie you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Action.
Oh, thank you.
And now the decade, please.
So,
1980s.
Lovely. That seems
good. You and Pippin are getting on.
I know. God, yeah. We're in unity.
Please, Pippin. Okay, Pippin has randomly created 4 action movies from the 1980s, and then it's now spinning them around in her little belly. Now it's down to you to tell Pippin when to stop spinning.
Oh,
Kickboxer.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
Goodness me, that'll be an interesting one. That's your proper 80s video store action experience, isn't it?
Yeah, bloody hell. Looks like it as well.
Up there with Bloodsport.
Okay, and now choose the third.
What were the other 3 actions? Sorry, I don't want to derail you.
Who Finds a Friend Finds a Treasure.
God, I've never heard of that one.
48 Hours.
Oh, that would have been good with Eddie Murphy and...
Oh, and Superman 2.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
That is a shame.
Okay, let's find the genre of the third movie you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
History.
Lovely. Mm. Can't go wrong with that.
And now the decade.
Stop.
1990s.
Lovely.
Please, Pippin, generate 4 historical movies from the 1990s. Pippin has done, and it's over to you, David, to tell Pippin when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Quiz Show.
Oh, now that is interesting. Who directed that then? That's like it's like an actor directed that, didn't they, or something? It's supposed to be a really interesting... It's Robert Redford directed Quiz Show, isn't it? It's supposed to be good, yeah. It's like some kind of conspiracy behind the scenes. Quiz Show's supposed to be very good.
Okay.
Is it Robert Redford? I could be wrong about that.
Maybe. Do you want me to have a look? Quiz Show?
Only if you've got time. I don't want to... It's one of those films that would be like an HBO prestige drama today.
Robert Redford.
Yeah,
Ralph Fiennes, John Turturro.
Yeah, it's very well respected. George Clooney, David, always references it as a film that he enjoys.
Okay, so there's three movies here. Big, Kickboxer and Quiz Show. I've given them a letter, an A, a B and C. I've jumbled them up, or have I? Yes, I have. Or have I? Yes, I have. Or have I? And it's now over to you to choose which movie will be the first movie that you review in the year 2024.
B.
Quiz Show.
Lovely stuff, sir. Lovely. I'd be interested in that.
Lovely. Okay.
Yeah, some kind of conspiracy or something that takes place in a show. Something underhand takes place.
Right.
I don't know if someone's cheating or something in that vein.
Well, there we go. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. I've thoroughly enjoyed that, David. It felt really Christmassy.
And thank you for your gift. It's really genuinely appreciated. And it's been a wonderful year. Every Saturday morning, waking up your good self. I'll still be getting over the boxing gloves. That's still, I still haven't quite mentally got over that one. But yeah. It really is a case of wonderful year. Thanks to the people that have joined us.
Yeah, and thank you everybody for joining us this year.
No, it's been absolutely superb. I mean, it's your Saturday morning, for crying out loud. And to be joining us in YouTube heaven is just wonderful to know, you know, we've got our parasocial pals out there.
We thoroughly enjoy making this podcast, don't we?
Oh, massively. So for you to join in and get involved, it's an absolute delight. Mm. Do you know what I mean? There's no other way to describe it.
I tell you what, just before we go, if you could pop your favourite Christmas movies in the chat, I'll just read them out to David and he can tell us what he thinks briefly.
Yeah, definitely. I'll what up for that.
Favourite Christmas movies, everybody. If there's anything that sticks out in your mind you're looking forward to watching this year, or you always go back to watch. The Boxing Gloves reveal is one of the funniest things I've seen all year.
So at least someone got something out of it. At least as a gift. What's your favourite one? Have you got a favourite Christmas film?
It might be Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's got to be said. It's an iconic one.
KB says Bad Santa.
Yes, that is good, with Billy Bob Thornton. That is a very good one.
Jamie Pittman says Scrooged.
Yeah, Scrooge. Yep. Merry Christmas, Mr. Pittman. Lovely to hear you there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's the budding screenwriter. Scrooge. You can't knock that.
Well, Gemma Casey says Scrooged. There's two Scroogeds in there.
Do you know what? I've forgotten all about Scrooged. Mm. That's one I'll see if I can look back on. Nightmare Before Christmas. I wouldn't mind revisiting that, and definitely Scrooged.
Do you know what?
Gone all about that. People don't really talk about Scrooge much, do they? I have to look at that one again.
We always sit the boys down on Christmas Eve, early evening, and watch The Snowman.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Do you know, probably a lot of people know this, but in America, David Bowie did an introduction for it, didn't he?
Yeah.
I came across that quite late and found it quite perplexing. You can't beat The Snowman. It's just it's an era of Britain that doesn't exist anymore.
You're very good at singing The Snowman in a deep voice, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to try it?
I'm walking...
In a deep voice.
I'm walking in the air. I'm looking all around my home. The snowman is here, he's sitting on his throne. Through the night, through the sky, we fly. Looking high, looking down, all around is here, walking in the air.
Simple as that. There we go.
Merry Christmas, David. Have a lovely Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody, and have a happy new year.
Absolutely right, sir. Have a superb crimbo. And there's food for thought there, definitely. Squeeze it on the list to.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, indeed. Merry Christmas. Christmas Cyril salute. Introducing toddlers to, like, I don't know, self-defense. That's insane. All I can do is apologize. It's just insane. It's like a Vic and Bob gag. It's like something out of Shooting Star. Honestly, that's just surreal for me to... You're supposed to be sent proper boxing gloves.